Welcome to the Let's Get Vulnerable podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Morgan Anderson, psychologist, relationship coach, attachment theory expert, creator of the ESL relationship method, author of Love Magnet, and athletic wear connoisseur. My mission is to help you raise your self-worth, have great relationships, and step confidently into the next level of your life. Each week, two episodes will air featuring expert advice, live coaching, and tips showing you exactly how to improve your life and attract a healthy relationship. You deserve to feel empowered, secure, and loved. Buckle up and let's get vulnerable. You're so tired of watching all your friends get married and looking at everybody else having healthy, secure relationships, and you're sitting on the sidelines wondering, when will it be my turn? I want to invite you that you can decide to take ownership, that you can say, I'm going to become the version of me who effortlessly attracts my emotionally available ideal partner. And you're going to stop wasting your time on relationships that go nowhere, right? I want to invite you that you can make that decision. And spring is an incredible time to do the work with us inside of the Empowered, Secure, Loved program. This program is founded by myself, Dr. Morgan, clinical psychologist, attachment theory expert. It has helped hundreds of women become securely attached so that they can attract the relationships that they deserve. Now is your turn. And this spring is an incredible time to join us introducing Soft Girl Secure Spring Sale this April only. When you join the program, you get a bonus training that is how to embody secure feminine energy. This is a topic I love talking about, and you'll get this training as a gift. Also, you'll get the Become the One bundle. This is all about becoming the secure version of you. It includes meditations, affirmations, a communication framework. It is so, so valuable. And that's another gift. On top of that, you get a bonus month in the program. So instead of 2 months with us, you'll have 3 whole months where you'll receive support, one-on-one coaching, group coaching, and of course, the coursework, all of that with a bonus month and a $400 discount on the program. So that is a no-brainer. If you've been on the fence, if you've been thinking about doing the work, this is the time. Take advantage of our Soft Girl Secure Spring Sale. This is going away, and I would apply to the program today. Go use the link in the show notes, and it's super easy. You'll fill out an application, meet with someone on my team, and go from there. So it takes 5 minutes, go to the link in the show notes, apply today. I can't wait to see you inside of the program. It's your host, Dr. Morgan. This episode is going to be so good. You guys, I love you so much. I want you to know I am actually recording this before I fly out. So it's about 4 a.m. and I wanted to make sure that I got this episode done because I had a lot of you send me DMs. That this was a topic that you needed. And I take that very seriously. I want to make sure that the podcast content is serving you. So this is a sign. If you've never sent me a DM on Instagram, go do it. It's Dr. Morgan Coaching on Instagram. I do get to my DMs as best as I can, but I take your request seriously. And this episode is going to be all about healing from narcissistic abuse. This is something that I know about personally. And when I started the podcast, I was still really in that process of healing myself. Even though it had been years and years, there was still a lot of inner work that I was doing because of the abuse that I had experienced in a relationship with a narcissist. Those of you that don't know, that was the thing that really got me down this path. When I was in my second year of graduate school, I found myself in a relationship with a narcissist.
And it started out with love bombing. Oh my goodness. If only love bombing would last. It was this fantasy experience for me. And I think a lot of people who experience narcissistic abuse, you know what I'm talking about, of someone who basically is trying to be your perfect partner, and they're doing all the things specific to you that you would have always wanted. For me, it looked like spending so much quality time, traveling together. I was getting showered with gifts, and someone who was just making so much time for me. They would be there multiple times a day. I remember he would always bring me a coffee in the morning. It was always my almond milk latte. And it was all of these things that, gosh, if you didn't, obviously at that time, I didn't even really know about the cycles of narcissistic abuse. And I had no idea what love bombing was, right? So if you don't know about this, when you experience love bombing, you might just go, wow, I've met my Prince Charming. How is this person real? Like, it can just feel so, so good. And if you think about, well, how do I know the difference between a healthy, secure relationship with somebody who is there and attuned and they really care about me? How do I know the difference between that versus love bombing in the early stages specifically? I'll tell you this, with love bombing, there is an excess. It feels like too much, and the relationship does not have enough data. It hasn't built secure attachment to support the level of investment. So you might be flying to Tahiti 2 weeks into the relationship if you're experiencing love bombing. And this is where I think there's a ton of nuance, and there's a ton of really being able to trust yourself. So I talk a lot about self-trust with my clients, but I want to just tell you this. There's a lot of times where you can't spot a narcissist early on. And there's a lot of times where it doesn't come out until later. So I want to give anyone who's experienced this so much compassion. I blamed myself for so long. I really thought, oh my gosh, you're a freaking clinical psychologist, right? It's funny. I was actually just about to learn about narcissism. I started dating him, and then it was like 6 months later, I started to study personality disorders. And I remember thinking like, oh my gosh, if only I knew about this sooner. But the reality is, even if you study it, even if you're so, so aware, it really can happen to anyone. And there are things that you can do to notice it earlier. And I have past episodes on that topic, and I can talk about that in a different episode. But regardless of being able to spot it, there are times when you can't. And there are times when you don't find out until it's starting to get bad. Okay. And that's just the reality. Narcissists are very good at what they do. They're good at manipulating. They're good at finding the person that they is vulnerable to control. And I just want to say, it's not your fault. Somebody needs to hear that today. Okay. If you're listening to this, you've blamed yourself for a past toxic relationship or a relationship with a narcissist. You need to know it's not your fault. It took me a long time to get there. And I wish I could have gotten there sooner, because it caused a lot of shame. It caused a lot of me continuing to date unhealthy people. So the sooner you can have compassion and love for yourself and understanding, the better. If you listen to my past episodes, I talk about this metaphor of the frog and the boiling water. If A frog comes up to a pot that is boiling. It's not going to jump in, right? It's not going to jump in the pot. But if you place a frog in the pot in lukewarm water, and then you slowly turn it up, and you turn it up to boiling, that frog is probably not going to be able to jump out. And that's what it's like to be in a relationship with a narcissist. One moment it's lukewarm water, everything's fine, or everything's amazing, you're getting love bombed. And then the next minute you're in boiling water. So you need to know that if you got out, congratulations. There's a lot of people that really struggle to get out, and I know all about that all too well. And you just have to say, like, thank God, and have so much gratitude towards yourself that you were able to leave, because it's not easy. I am just realizing I have so much more on this topic, so I will probably do another episode on this soon. But I want to get to what I want to talk about today, which is after the relationship. So I want to talk about the healing portion. And this really, this I'm going to give you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 steps. These 5 steps will help you, even if it was a breakup with someone and it was a healthy relationship. They'll help you if it was a toxic relationship, and they will definitely help you if it was a breakup with a narcissist. Okay. So these 5 steps are kind of like the bare minimum non-negotiable work that you need to do in order to really start that healing process. All right, so I'm going to get into it. Number one, we have to change the beliefs that you have about yourself. Because when you're in a relationship with a narcissist, they will make you believe a lot of lies about who you are. I remember in my relationship that I was struggling in grad school, right? I was actually, at one point, I was living in government housing. I put myself through college. So I was living on food stamps, all the things. I was really, really, really struggling, like eviction notices on the door type of struggling, okay? And I'm dating this guy, and he came from a very wealthy family. He's incredibly wealthy. And I remember the fact that he knew that I lived in government housing. When our relationship started to turn toxic, he would hold that over my head, and he would drop me off, and he would say things like, "You're so poor. You're just so broke, and you're just such a low class person. Here you are living in your government housing." And he was just berating me about my social economic status at the time. And I remember, like, sobbing and getting out of the car to go walk into my apartment and just thinking to myself, I am poor. It made me feel like trash, like absolute trash. Instead of, oh my gosh, a supportive partner would say something like, "Wow, you're doing everything you can because you really want to help people, and you're getting your doctorate. Isn't that amazing? You're putting yourself through grad school." Like, there would have been support, right? But remember, with a narcissist or in any toxic relationship, there's going to be things that they want you to believe about yourself that are really negative, because they know that if you don't like yourself, you're a lot easier to control. If you don't like yourself, you're a lot easier to control. So any breakup that you go through, there's probably beliefs about you that are lies, that are not based in reality, and we have to examine the beliefs about yourself, and we need to change them. And this is so important. This is core, deep, deep work. And I do recommend that you don't try to do it alone. Obviously, I specialize in helping people do this. There's other people that do as well. Whoever you get help from, make sure you get help. Don't try to do it by yourself. All right, number two, beliefs about relationships. In a relationship with a narcissist, you will develop terrible beliefs about relationships. You will think that people want me to be vulnerable so they can use it against me. People want to control me. People only want to date me because of who I am to them, right? You start feeling used. You start feeling like, wow, nobody really cares. You can develop all of these terrible beliefs about relationships and what relationships mean and what a relationship model is, what's going to be the timeline, how a relationship develops. All of this toxic garbage can be developed. And we have to also clear that out. So number one was beliefs about yourself. Number two, beliefs about relationships. We have to get a blank slate. Because if you hold on to those beliefs, unfortunately, this is just how our brain works, you will be attracted to relationships that fit that pattern. Okay? Because you have those beliefs. And what happens is our behaviors and what we notice is really impacted by the beliefs that we have. That's just a fact. All right, I want to go move on to number three. This one's huge. We have to work on identity. So how you see yourself, and it's different from beliefs, although the beliefs piece is part of identity. Identity also includes, what's the story you're telling about your past? What's the story you're telling? Are you blaming yourself? Are you still not forgiving yourself? Are you not taking ownership? Because there might be ways that you're also not taking ownership, right? So anything that is not the reality is going to really, really harm you. So in identity development, we're looking at what's the story you're telling about the past and what's the story you're telling about the future. How do you see yourself interacting in the world? What's the life that you want? What is the vision that you have for your life? I have something that really, really helps people with this, which is known as the morning alignment. And that whole practice is just life-changing, and it really, really helps with identity development. And this is so crucial because if you are in a relationship with a narcissist, you will lose your identity. You will eventually hit really, really low self-worth. You'll get to a point where you don't know who you are, and that's done intentionally, right? I remember just feeling like a shell of a human being, feeling like a ghost, looking in the mirror and being like, who am I? I don't even recognize myself. I had terrible, terrible mental health, obviously. And I just didn't even know who I was anymore, what was important to me. I was so busy walking on eggshells, trying not to be abandoned, following along with all the control and emotional manipulation that I was experiencing, that I lost myself completely. I did not even know what I liked to eat for breakfast. I mean, it was really, really, really terrible for me. And I know a lot of people experience that, where you feel like you've just completely lost control over who you are or what you want to do with your life, right? The vision, you don't have a vision for your life. It's whatever the narcissist wants. So it's really, really important to do identity work. All right, moving on. Number four, you have to develop boundaries and assertive communication. It is an absolute must. When you are recovering from this kind of abuse, it's actually normal that you might kind of pendulum swing over to aggressive instead of assertive, but just have so much compassion for yourself because you're realizing, oh, it's simply an overreaction to and I don't mean overreaction like it's not valid. I just mean you pendulum swung to a different side, right? You were over here on the passive, being controlled side. So then once you get out of the relationship, you might go the complete other direction And you might be showing up a bit aggressive for a while, and give yourself compassion for that. Give yourself compassion. And then you want to, as quickly as you can, you want to move yourself to assertive, securely attached, assertive communication, and being able to set loving boundaries, and realizing that boundaries are for you, and they're also good for the people we're in relationship with. And I will tell you this, if you don't do steps 1 through 3, this part won't work. You won't be able to set boundaries and learn assertive communication, because you don't have an identity that matches up with that style of communicating. So we have to start with the identity and the beliefs, okay? All right, this is the final step. This might be one of the most important steps. You have to get support. When I was on the other side of leaving my ex, I just remember I really didn't have anyone. I had been so isolated. While I was in the relationship, I was living with one of my best friends, and she saw the toll that it had on me. She saw me crying every night. She heard me talk about things that had happened. She saw everything going down. And simultaneously, I also just became really busy, because I was essentially being isolated intentionally by the narcissist. So he would make sure that I could not spend time with Mariah. Oh gosh, that's my best friend. Shout out Mariah. And we have reconciled, but I will tell you, that period of our friendship was terrible. And she obviously begged me to get out of the relationship. She saw it happening, but nobody could make me leave except for myself, right? But we were living together, and over the course of everything happening, she moved out. She had to move out. And at the time, I remember feeling sad. And now, oh my gosh, I get it. And I respect her for that decision. And I know that she could not enable what I was doing. She was a real friend. She did not want to enable the relationship that I was in. So she moved out. And I just went down to very, very, very few friendships. No one in my life knew what was going on. No one knew. And then when I finally got to this place of I have to leave, a lot of you know the story, but it was involving a police report. I had had my life threatened, near-death experience, and the police report happens. And that was when I had this moment of, this is not me. I have to do something. I'm not going to survive if I continue down this path. That I remember filing the police report. And what I did is I went and I called my clinical supervisor at the time, and I told her, and she was the first person I told. And she made me promise that I would go to therapy. And I called that day and I went to therapy. Shout out to Forrest, was my therapist in grad school. And holy cow, if I did not have support, I don't know what I would have done. But support can look a lot of ways. You need people who get it, people who are empathic. You need support where you can talk about what you've experienced and not be judged. And I'm going to tell you this, for a lot of you, that is not your friend group, right? It's not your friend group. Not that they're not wonderful people, but they just don't understand this experience. So you need to get support that gets it and that can help you heal, right? Actually, it's one of the things I love the most about the program, the Empowered Secure Love program that we have, the relationship program. It is so filled with support, from one-on-one coaching, group coaching, our Facebook community that's a private group. There is so much support, and it's the kind of environment that you need if you're going through this, because you can't do it alone. You can't do it alone. You need You need people to help you see yourself for who you really are and to really help you experience corrective emotional experiences where you can have people who create a safe, secure relationship with you. Because if you don't do that, then the template you have for relationships will continue to be unhealthy and you might stay really, really isolated for long periods of time. So you'll stay very isolated, or you'll just find yourself in another toxic relationship. So you need to get into environments that can facilitate a corrective emotional experience. All right. This has been an important episode. It's not an easy topic. I feel emotional talking about it. It's 4 a.m. I got to go pack my bags, get out of here. But I hope you appreciated this episode. I hope if you're going through healing after a toxic relationship that you know that it gets better. It gets better. It won't always be so painful. And you have to decide to heal. It's not going to just happen. You have to make the decision. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. I'm sending you so much love. I'm sending you a big hug. Just know that I'm in this with you, that I've been there, and it gets better. It gets better. All right. Of course, as always, I'm wishing you high self-worth and great relationships. Until next time. Thanks for tuning in. I really appreciate each and every one of you. The best way you can thank me is by sharing this episode on Instagram or Facebook. Make sure you tag me. It would mean the world to me if you took just a moment to leave me a written review on Apple Podcasts. This podcast is not free to produce, and the more that you help this show grow, the more people will be able to help. Until next time, I'm wishing you high self-worth and great relationships. Thank you for being part of this community.